Carter Conlon, pastor of the historic Times Square Church in New York City.
How do I get light in a darkened time? Where does joy come from that will keep my heart glad and give me strength to face what I have to face? Where do I get the vision that God gave to Daniel that seems to be promised to those of us who live in these last and very, very dark times?
Welcome to A Call to the Nation with Pastor Carter Conlon from Times Square Church in New York City. In the book of Daniel, we find God gave Daniel knowledge, understanding, and the ability to interpret dreams. And in today's message, Pastor Conlon talks about how Daniel used these gifts for God's glory and how he made an important decision not to defile himself and in return bring God honor. Here's Carter.
If you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We forget there's an enemy at the gate always waiting to take us captive, and an enemy who's sole purpose in this earth from the days of Eden is to swallow the testimony of God. Even the book of Revelation talks about the serpent sending a flood out of his mouth to swallow this testimony that God had established through his people Israel. He was living in the midst of his own people. His people were surrounded and largely dominated by the influence of an ungodly society. But in spite of it, Daniel was given an excellent spirit. Daniel was taken into the king's palace. He was made a eunuch in the king's palace, which meant technically he would never have a family. And the tragedy of it all, because everything to this young boy about Jewishness is about having a family. It's all about heritage, lineage, sons, daughters, and home. And all that was taken away from him. He would have all the reason in the world, as many would in our generation, to be bitter. And there's ample reasons to be bitter. There's ample reasons to compromise and say, well, I'm just going to find happiness where I can find it. In this new dominant culture that's come in, basically saying, you will do it our way. We're surrounding you. We're going to dictate how things are going to be done, how you're going to worship God. We're going to bring you into our court, and it's all going to be done our way. But Daniel purposed that he would not defile himself. And in chapter 5 and verse 12, the testimony of this young man was an excellent spirit was given him. He was given knowledge, understanding, the ability to interpret dreams, solving riddles. And the original text means untying knots, difficult situations, things that were hard to understand. Daniel was given this power by God. Though the people of God were captivated, God's name was still brought to honor through this young man, Daniel, and those who were like him. And in chapter 2, verses 47 to 49, scripture says, the king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he sent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these are friends of Daniel's, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Again, in Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, it tells us that Daniel knew that wisdom, which shines light into darkness, comes from God. Listen to his prayer. It says, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Oh, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and now have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the king's demand. Daniel understood mysteries. He saw the rise and fall of human kingdoms on the earth and knew that all of them were predestined by God for a certain period of time. And he described these kingdoms with incredible accuracy, kingdoms which have been without any doubt verified by the testimony now of history itself. He stood before Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon at that time, who had a dream that troubled him. And Daniel was given by God the interpretation of this dream, and as he stood before the king. And he basically told this king, God appointed you, God established you, but there's a day coming when your kingdom is going to be over. And another kingdom, Medo-Persia, under the leadership of Cyrus, is going to overthrow you. And even after that kingdom, there's going to be another one called the Kingdom of the Greeks under Alexander the Great, which is going to come and have its moment shining in the sun as it is in history. And then after Alexander the Great, another kingdom is going to rise that we know today to be Rome, called it a kingdom of iron, a kingdom that was going to trample everything in its path and rule by force and might and be bound together by this common bond of dominating the world. Then Daniel saw right into our day, a time when the remnants of this Roman Empire would be gathered together into a collection of nations. We know it today to be the European Union. Out of the old Roman Empire, they would come back together, but they would not have the strength of this original kingdom. They would not adhere to one another. In other words, they would call themselves by a common name, but they would retain their collective and individual identities. And there would always be this faction wanting to break away, come back together, break away. And we actually see the words of Daniel being fulfilled in our generation. It's an incredible thing when you look at it. God gave him a collective view right down to our day and something just to come. Because in chapter 2, verse 44, speaking about this final kingdom that was going to arise in that part of the world that God had spoken to him about, he said, and in the days of these kings, and I believe that, you can research it yourself, but I believe it to be the revived European Union that we're seeing now in our generation. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. In other words, there will not be another kingdom after this present one. It will be the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God. It will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. Folks, you got to understand something, and let it go down deep into your heart. We are living in the days of Christ's return. I don't know how many years that's going to be. No one knows. But the Bible does tell us that we are not children of darkness, that this day should overtake us as a thief. In the final book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, the final chapter, verses 9 and 10, he tells us in the final days of humankind that many will turn to God and be changed by him, and they'll be given understanding of the time that they're living in. Verse 9 says, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked will do wickedly. And none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand. Amen. None of the wicked will know where we're headed. That's always the way it's been. None of the wicked knew in the days of Noah. They ate and drank, married, gave in marriage. There was a testimony, there was a witness, there was a call of God going out into the society of that time. Turn from your sin, turn to God. There has been an ark of safety prepared, but they chose to ignore it. They had no idea what was coming their way. You see this collectively all throughout history. These kingdoms, even though the word of God clearly prophesied to these kingdoms, Belshazzar, the descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, before whom Daniel initially gave this word, took the holy things of the temple in Jerusalem and with his lords and his wives and his concubines threw a party and began to drink out of the holy things of God, began to become intoxicated technically on that which belonged to the temple of God and was set apart for its use. And that's when Daniel again was called in because a hand appeared and began to write on the wall and nobody understood it. And Belshazzar's knees began to knock together so violently that it says even the joints of his thighs became loosed. He was so afraid of what he saw. They called Daniel in, and Daniel said, "You knew, Belshazzar, that God is the one who sets up kings and takes them down. You knew that kingdoms and nations were in the hand of God. For God took your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, in his pride and sent him out into a field like a madman until he bent his hand, his heart, and his knee to God and recognized that it is God who rules in the heavens and the earth. And this history was not hidden from you. But you chose to party with the holy things of God. And finally, your kingdom has come to the point now, which I spoke to your predecessor about. It's come to the point now where the Medes and the Persians are going to take over. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Every earthly kingdom has an appointed time and a time when it begins and a time when it ends. No earthly kingdom lasts forever. None. Europe, Rome didn't last forever. Alexander the Great, no, he was a conqueror, they say, that was given supernatural power, not necessarily of God, but to do what he did. But he died young, and his kingdom was split, as is written by one of the other prophets, among his four generals. Oh, folks, God preordains everything on the earth. There's nothing out of his control. Everything is in his hand. He knows. He has all knowledge. Even before God's people were taken into captivity, God spoke to the prophet Isaiah and told him there was going to be a season of captivity in Babylon. And a king called Cyrus was going to be raised up from the Medo-Persian Empire, who was going to issue a decree and let the people of God go home. This is dozens and dozens and dozens of years before Cyrus is even born. God knows his name. God knows he's going to write a decree. God knows he's going to send him home. There is knowledge in God. There's knowledge for those who make right choices. There's wisdom to understand our times. There's power to live in a way that can glorify the name of God, but it does require something on our part. We're living in an hour where none of the wicked understand. This world is hell-bent on hell itself. It's not going to be turned, by and large, from its course of action. But God has a people. The scripture says that we shine like stars. We're appointed of God as a demonstration of seasons and times and a signpost for those who want to find their way into a place of safety and into a place where God is. And I believe, as God said to Daniel, the words will be closed up until the time of the end. Many will be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand. Oh God, that should be the cry of your heart and mine now. Oh Jesus, give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Unlock the text of Scripture. Show me where we're headed. Show me how I fit. Show me what my life can become. Because the Scripture says that I'm not a child of darkness. These days are not to overpower me like a thief. I'm not to be caught running around terrified like everybody else, wringing my hands, pointing my finger, blaming others for the misery that's come upon me. Daniel could easily have done that. And you and I would look and see, he would be rightly justified, and I'm sure many did. Daniel could have sat down at the table of the king, anointed himself with the finest of oils. He could have drank wine to get rid of his sense of despair. He could have eaten of the finest delicacies of that society. But he made a right choice because he was not a child of darkness. He was a child of light. And thank God he did, because he did. Most believe that it was the influence of Daniel on King Cyrus that caused him eventually to issue the decree to let the Jewish people go back to their homeland and rebuild the temple that Jesus Christ eventually himself in human form came and walked into. Listen to what Paul says to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. "Concerning the times of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. This day should not overtake us as a thief. Oh, thank God for that knowledge to you and I. We're not children of darkness. We're not called to live in darkness. We're called to live and walk in the light, and we're called to be the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden. I believe there are giftings of God, empowerments of God, offices of God, callings of God. If you and I have the courage to do what Daniel did and stand up and say, I choose rather to be counted in with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I make a willful choice in my heart that I'm going to separate myself from that which is bringing dullness into this generation. I'm going to separate myself from the evil speech. I'm going to separate myself from all of the division, the anger, all of the indulgences, all the things that people are using to bring themselves temporary measures of peace in the heart. I'm going to separate myself from these things. Daniel could have said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know in my heart that God holds the future. And so I'm going with the one who holds the future. Let Babylon, Babylon all it wants about all of its wondrousness and all of its vineyards and all of its gardens and all of its might and all of its power and all of its society and all of its new imagery of what society should look like. Let Babylon build its golden images of itself, play its music and command the people to bow before it. Let Babylon surround the testimony of God and virtually demand that the people of God acquiesce to that which we know is not right. Let Babylon do all of these things. But I know that Babylon has an end. I know that every kingdom of this world comes to an end. I know that nothing of flesh can exalt itself in the sight of a holy God. I know, just as the early church prayed in Acts chapter 4 when they were being threatened about the testimony of Christ, Lord, you are God. You are God who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the kings of the earth imagine a vain thing? Behold, the kings of the earth and even religious compromisers join with them against the testimony of God and against his Christ. And then they said, but only to do what your hand has predetermined before that should be done. In other words, they're not allowed outside of the boundaries that you have set for them. You allow them to exist for a moment. And as the scripture says, we're here for a moment like a vapor on a cold day that comes out of a person who's exhaling. We're visible just for a moment and then we're gone. It's the same with kings. It's the same with kingdoms. There's only one kingdom that's going to last. There's only one king that's going to reign forever. And you and I have to make a choice. Which kingdom are we going to let influence us? Which kingdom is going to offer us our solace in times of sorrow? Which kingdom is going to dictate to us our value system for the future? Which kingdom are we going to serve? Are we going to kowtow down to leaders who erect statues in their own image and command that everyone bend to it? Or are we going to stand as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did and say, if God wants to, he can deliver us. But if not, we will not bend before this image you set before us. I'm sure there was a lot of scriptural people in that generation, a lot of people that studied this text, the scrolls, who believed in God. But their names are not mentioned anywhere in scripture or in history. The only names that are mentioned are the names that God used to make a difference, to honor his name, to speak for him, to stand for him, to declare what is right in the midst of what is wrong, without fear and without compromise, even to face the lion's den as Daniel did near the end of his days. Oh, thank God that he didn't bend his knee to the society around him, but he stayed true to his God. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 talks about a day that we're going to face in the not too distant future. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. God says there's an eternal reward ahead of us for those who make the choice to stand true and to stand strong for what they know is right. We're living in a time when evil is becoming good and good is becoming evil. We're living in a time when anybody who stands for the truth of God is vilified and given derogatory names, out of touch, bigoted, unnecessary, a hindrance to society. We've even been called domestic terrorists. I'm not kidding you, folks. These are dark times, very, very dark times. You and I know that we serve a Savior that tells us that we should love our enemies. You and I serve a Savior that says we should do good to all men. You and I know that what we believe and what we walk in is right. It is true. It is just. It is holy. It is the only way to everlasting life. It is the only way that men and women can walk together in unity in such a divided time. Look at this church alone, 104 different nationalities worshiping God together. Where in the world could this ever happen? Nowhere but in the Church of Jesus Christ. And so the question arises, how do I get light in a darkened time? Where does joy come from that will keep my heart glad and give me strength to face what I have to face? Where do I get the vision that God gave to Daniel that seems to be promised to those of us who live in these last and very, very dark times? You and I have to make the choice now. God, I'm going to turn away from what is wrong and I'm going to turn to what is right simply because I know in my heart this is the right thing to do. I see where the delicacies of this society are leading it. Families are breaking down. Government is paralyzed. Statesmanship is gone. Lies are propagated as truth. There's no integrity. There's no honesty. There's nothing anymore. Society is collapsing all around us when this kingdom's about to come to its finish. But I'm telling you, by God's grace, there will be a Daniel. By God's grace, there will be young men. By God's grace, there will be young women. By God's grace, there will be voices that will be raised up of God, not empowered by men, but empowered by God, not standing, as the Bible says, with fleshly wisdom garnered by all the efforts of man, but standing with divine revelation given by God. It doesn't mean we're coming up with something new. It means we're speaking what's already written with power, making it visible, making it manifest, making it understood. Standing as Daniel did, saying, men's kingdoms don't last. Only the kingdom of God is the one that's eternal. And no matter what people are saying and will be saying about religion in the coming days, let it be very clear. There's only one name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. There's no duplicity of names. There's only one door. There's only one path. There's only one way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The day has come upon you and I when we're going to have to stand before rulers. We're going to have to stand before bosses. We're going to have to stand in courtrooms, perhaps, even in the days ahead. And we're going to simply have to stand with the testimony of God in our heart, the word of God in our mouth, the light of God in our eyes. We're going to stand on behalf of the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no life. There is no lasting kingdom. There is no power apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us in these days in which we're living. May God help us to soberly assess where we are, as Daniel must have. And he must have spoken with his friends and said, listen, we either go with Babylon or we go with God. If we go with God, we don't know where it's going to lead us. But if we go with Babylon, we know where that's going to go. We're going to lose our heritage. We're going to lose our song. We're going to lose our testimony. We're going to lose the power of our lives. We're going to lose touch with God. And is it worth it? Is it worth it to be defiled with the things of this world, the thinking of this world, the luxuries of this world? Is it worth it to lose the testimony of God? No, sir, it's not. No, sir, it's not. Please, please make the choice. Daniel purposed in his heart, I will not defile myself. I will walk with God. Let that please be the cry of your heart.
Thank you for joining us this week for A Call to the Nation with Pastor Carter Conlon from Times Square Church in New York City. For more information, log on to tsc.nyc. That's tsc.nyc. You can count on a powerful message each week on A Call to the Nation with Carter Conlon.